They sowed the seeds for their future destruction by letting these thorns, if you will, these horrible, wicked people, to stay in their midst. And listen carefully now. We can never make peace with sin. Sin only makes a slave out of a person.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for tuning in to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's study of Joshua continues today with the message titled, Drive Them Out. Now, Pastor Bill.
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of Joshua. We're going to cover chapters 16 through 19, but our primary focus is going to be on chapter 17 tonight. And as you can see that, you know, this is the dividing up of the land, and I'm not going to read, if you don't mind, every person's name of the cities of Judah and all the things that take place, but I am going to focus on certain scriptures. Tonight, as you already know, if you've read through this at all, I pray that you have, you realize that basically it's self-explanatory, that it doesn't need any commentary. It's right there in front of us on the division of the land. And so the land of Canaan, remember, is now the land of Israel. They've conquered the land and so forth. There's still a fight going on, but they're dividing up their inheritance. And that's what Joshua has been doing. Remember the command that God gave Joshua. Joshua, you're old now. You're advanced in years. In other words, your fighting days are over. I want you to do something now, or I'm commanding you. I want you to divide up the inheritance by allotment or parcel, if you will, to the children of Israel, all the 12 tribes. And that's what he's doing. And so when we get to chapter 16 through 19, like I said, it's pretty much self-explanatory. And then last time we were together, we studied out the life of Caleb and how, you know, talking about an old fellow who fought the good fight of faith. He wanted Hebron. He wanted the area that God had promised to him, and he went out and he took it. He had to fight for it. And Caleb was the only one that took all of his inheritance and defeated all the enemy. He's the only one who did that out of the tribes. Matter of fact, if you look there in, it wasn't true of all the tribes, like in Joshua 15:63, it says, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah, well, they could not drive them out, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this very day." In Joshua 16:10, it says, "And they did not drive out the Canaanites." They did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers. Now, remember, this is important text tonight. God commanded that they completely destroy the seven nations. Remember the Canaanites and the Gerzerites and all the otherites, okay? Don't let anything breathe that remain alive. But they failed to do that. They disobeyed the Lord. And here's what they chose to do there with the Jebusites and the Canaanites. They chose the children of Israel, those tribes, to tolerate their presence. That's a terrible thing. Listen, they chose to make peace with wickedness. Instead of doing what God said to do, they sowed the seeds for their future destruction by letting these thorns, if you will, these horrible, wicked people, to stay in their midst. Listen carefully now. We cannot, they cannot, we can never make peace with sin. Amen? Sin will destroy. That's all it can do. Sin only makes a slave out of a person. Sin is a damnable thing. It's the worst thing on this planet. Now, what I'd like for you to look at tonight in chapter 17, let's go to verse 14, if you will. Now, let me read our text to you, and then I'm going to expound on it. Joshua 17, beginning in verse 14. It says, "Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit? Since we're a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now.' So Joshua answered them, 'Well, if you're a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you.' But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country, it's not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley, well, they have chariots of iron. Don't you hate sissy Christians? You know, or sissy believers, huh? You know, oh, they, you know, yak yak, you know, the whole bit here. And he says, because they have chariots of iron, and both those who are at Beth Shean and those who are at the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, to Ephraim, to Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and are among you. Tonight I want to talk to us about driving out our enemy from the text that we had. And let's begin, if you would, and let's look in verse 14 again. It says, and the children of Joseph, which now we know is Ephraim and Manasseh, they spoke to Joshua saying, why have you given us only one lot, only one small parcel? Well, that's not really true, because over in chapter 16, verse 1 and following, they've already received their inheritance, but it's not enough for them, okay? And so he said, why have you just given us this one share to inherit? Since we're a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now, meaning they don't feel like they're being blessed any longer. What a sad contrast to last week with Caleb. Caleb based his inheritance on the promise of God all the way back in Numbers, because Caleb wholly followed the Lord. And the very land that he spied out, God said will be his. And he went up to that mountain, even into the land where the giants were, remember, and he conquered that land and took that land. Matter of fact, he even later enlarged his inheritance, okay, his land, his parcels, and so forth. So he acted in faith. But here, the people of God, Ephraim and Manasseh, look what they're doing. They are complaining, just like they did back in the days of the wilderness. And they start complaining, and they say, oh, the land, you know, is just not sufficient for us. What God has given us is not enough. We want a whole lot more because we're a great people. But the truth of the matter is, they acted in fear. They did not act in faith. Look at verse 15. So Joshua answered them. He said, you know, if you're a great people, then go up to the forest country. Clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too small for you. They're too cramped for you. They're too confined for you. So Joshua challenges them, like God challenges us all the time. If you don't like it, why don't you believe God and do something about it? Amen? That's what he's saying. He says, why don't you go up there and clear yourself out of forest? Why don't you go up there and drive out the giants, drive out the Perizzites? Verse 16, but the children of Joseph said, well, the mountain, or literally it could read the entire mountain country, is just not enough for us. And watch this now. And all the what dwell there? And what were they supposed to do with Canaanites? Drive them out. He says, and all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley, look, they've got these chariots of iron and those of Beth Shean, that means the house of ease, by the way, and its towns, and those are the valley of Jezreel, that means the place that where God sows. So where is their faith? It's not in the promises of God. Isn't it so horrible to live a life knowing God's word and not trusting God's word, not believing that God is enough, not believing that God is enough to drive out any problem, any issue, any enemy in your life? Don't you hate lies? Every day lies are poured out upon your mind by the world that we live in, by our own flesh, and of course by the demonic realm, the power of darkness. They attack the mind. And you know what? The Bible says that Satan, here's what he loves to do. He loves to wear out the saints of God, wear them down. And that's why we need to stand on God's word every moment, every day of our life, because we're not a defeated people. But you look at this guy's here. Oh, no, the land, it's not enough and so forth. And the Canaanites are there that we were supposed to drive out because God promised that we could and so forth. But, you know, there's just no way. You know, they didn't trust God's word. It says in Deuteronomy 20, verse 1, it says, God said, when you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, listen to what the Lord says. He says, don't be afraid of them, for the Lord God is with you. Is God with us? every second. He's here with us right now. He says, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And then in verse 4 of chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, it says, for the Lord your God, he is who goes with you. Here it is. To fight for you against your enemies, to save you. What a promise from God. But you see, they were not willing to drive out the enemy, the ones that were going to cause their future defeat, their future destruction in their life. They refused to do it. And it says in verse 17, it says, and Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, to Ephraim, Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its farthest extent shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and though they are strong. Now let's make application of our text tonight. Remember that the word inheritance is mentioned 61 times in the book of Joshua. What a glorious, wonderful, beautiful word that is. It's mentioned 313 times in the entire Bible. And so tonight as we look at this, we have to understand something. We know that God owns the land, and he is giving the land to the children of Israel. They have to be obedient, don't they? They have to operate in the blessings of God. If not, they'll operate in the cursings of God. They have to do what God has told them to do. But here's the problem. This land of their inheritance, they allow the enemy, the Canaanites, to live on their inheritance. Isn't that a terrible thing? To let the enemy share what God has given unto you, the blessings that God has given unto you. Listen, we belong to God. We are a redeemed people by the blood of Jesus. We are a purchased possession tonight. We belong to Almighty God. And you know what? He has made us, as I said last Wednesday night, his inheritance. From Ephesians 1:11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, meaning that he has made us his inheritance, and he has made the Lord our inheritance. I mean, God has promised that. You see, I want to ask you a question because I want to challenge you tonight, just like I'm challenged whenever I put together a message that the Lord gives me. You know, are you allowing the Canaanites, are you allowing the evil one, are you allowing the enemy to share your inheritance? To walk on your inheritance, to live on your inheritance, to partake of what God has given you. Man, I tell you what, I don't want to share anything that God has given me with the enemy. Amen? You know, they said, oh, we feel confined. Do you feel confined? In other words, you feel boxed in. You don't know, I don't know which way to go or what to do. That's not true. God knows the way you need to go. God is always going to tell you which way you need to go. He's never going to let you down concerning that. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge him in all our ways, and he shall what? Guide our paths, direct our paths. That's what the Lord has promised for us to do. So you need to ask yourself tonight, I'm not implying that you are, but you need to ask yourself, am I sharing my lot, my inheritance, my land, my body, my home, anything with the enemy? Look at verse 15 with me again. It says, so Joshua answered them, if you are a great people, then go up. Go up to the forest company. Clear out a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, your enemies. Go up there and take care of it. He says, if the mountains of Ephraim are too small or too confined for you. In other words, do something about it. Isn't that amazing? How, have you ever, you know, we cry out, oh God, help me, but then we don't want to sometimes do what God's telling us to do. And he says, listen, go up there and you cut down and clear out the enemy right now. Remove them. In other words, Joshua is saying, quit crying out to God for more. Warrior, are we guilty of that? Come on. Crying out to God for more when we are not willing to go do what God has said to do. He said, go up there and drive them out. Get them off your land. Get them off your inheritance. They're the enemy. They don't belong there. I've empowered you to remove those things. Amen? And I say, Lord, that's exactly right. Why would God trust me or you with more if we're not willing to do what we're supposed to do in the first place? He's not going to do that. He's not going to do it at all. No, we're going to stay right where we are. Now listen, no one has the right to your body, to your mind, to your heart, to your thinking except God. No one else. We are the temple of the living God. Amen. And listen, you know what? Here's what I think about this. When I looked at this today, I said, you know what, Lord? These Canaanites and these Perizzites or these enemies, whatever it may be in our life, in their life, they're squatters. Do you understand? You know what a squatter is, right? Let me read you the definition. It says, squatting consists of occupying an unoccupied area, of land or a building. And it says, and that the squatter does not own, rent, or otherwise have lawful permission to use. See, squatters, you know, that's what the enemy is. He's a squatter. He wants to come on your inheritance, and he says, you know what? I see a little bit of area of your life, and it's supposed to be occupied by God. A little area of your heart is supposed to be occupied by God. A little bit of area of your home life or your private life or your mind that's supposed to be occupied by God, but it's abandoned. And no one's there, even though it is unlawful for me to do it. Since it's unoccupied, I'm going to squat for a while. Think about that. And that's exactly what these enemies were doing. Listen, here's the thing. Squatters have no right, talking about the enemy, to our lives. And if they are there, they are there illegally, and they're squatting because we allow them to be there and we refuse to drive them out. They are there because they are squatting in those unoccupied areas where God is maybe not even allowed. We, that private area or whatever in our lives. Listen, you know, secret sin is a squatter. Presumptuous sin is a squatter. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, it tells us, it says, give no place, give no opportunity to the devil. Don't give him any area. The word place there, where it says give no place to the devil, it means a portion. A marked off area of your life and say, you know, and say, well, it's okay for you to dwell there. No, we would never do that, would we? There's not any believer that would say, you know what, there's an area of my life, I'm going to mark it off because it's not occupied by God. I kind of traffic in and out of that area when I want to, so, you know, and you know what, I'm going to give you that place. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, you wouldn't give that to the devil, not in a heartbeat, man. No, in other words, we're to do something. We're not going to let him squat in any area of our life. We drive out squatters. We drive out the enemy. We won't let them stay in our land. Look at verse 16. It says, but the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell there, they have these chariots of iron. I hear it all the time from believers. And I don't know that there's anything that troubles me and makes me pray for them more is when they tell me that whatever they're going through, that they say, this sin that I'm in is too powerful to be overcome. It breaks my heart when I hear a believer say that. When they say, you know, it's like a chariot of iron. It's strong. It's powerful. It's rolling over me and so forth. Listen, don't ever make anything, sin or otherwise, bigger than God. Bigger than God's grace, bigger than God's power, and bigger than God's love. And you know what the children of Israel did? Here's what they did. They either forgotten or they did not believe who they really were. Look at verse 17. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, to Ephraim, Manasseh, saying, you are a what? Say that with me. Great people. Listen, they were a great people. Not only were they a great people, but look what they possessed that very moment because they had God. It says, you have great power. And he says, you know what? You're going to have more than you can imagine, but you're going to have to drive out. You're going to have to remove those squatters from your land. Even though they have chariots of iron, even though that they're strong, you're going to have to drive out the Canaanites. Now listen carefully. Are we a great people? We are the family of God. We're the family of God. Why is it that the church in the 21st century is no longer the main hub of the believer's life? Church takes sometimes, meaning church, us, coming together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a habit of some is, but provoking one another, amen, until as we see that day approaching. Stirring each other up in love and good works and all the rest. Why is it that that the church is no longer the main center, the main hub of the 21st century Christian's life. Well, the devil's stolen it, that's why. We've forgotten who we are. It's so easy, you know, to practice churchianity instead of Christianity. Do you understand? It's like I heard a newscaster say the other day about, I forget what it was about, but he made a comment, I don't mean anything against any denomination, I'm going to just say what he said. He said, I'm a good Baptist. It was a weatherman that said that. He was talking about the fog or whatever, I don't remember. And you know what, there's nothing wrong with being a good Baptist or a good Presbyterian or Pentecostal or whatever, amen? But the fact is that we're talking about a living relationship with a living God. You know, I look and I say, I want to be with God's people. Church should be the very center of our lives, amen? And they've forgotten who they were. See, we are the family of God. Isn't it wonderful? Do you ever just think back and go, oh, you know what? I know what I used to be. I used to be dead, spiritually dead, meaning dead in trespasses and sins. But now I've been made alive, amen? You've been made alive. We're not a dead people. We've been made alive unto God. We used to be without Christ. Think about that. That means to be without Christ means we had a life, but we didn't have a plan. We had a life, but we didn't have a purpose. Are you listening to me? It was just a vain, empty life. We used to be without citizenship, meaning we were stateless. We were just nomads, roaming. Oh, we call ourselves Texans or Californians or whatever. But the truth of the matter is that when you are without the citizenship of God, then we have no right to the promises of God. See, we used to be those things. We used to be without hope. That's what the Bible teaches in Ephesians, that we were without hope, and we had nothing to hope for beyond this lousy world that we live in. And this is a lousy world that we live in. Matter of fact, let me put it another way. We live in the center, in the midst of the most ungrateful generation that has ever existed in our history. Oh, Bill, I didn't come to church to be depressed tonight. I'm not depressing you, man. I'm telling you the truth. You know, we have to speak the truth in love, and that's exactly what I'm doing. And not only that, I mean, we were without hope, but then we were, even though God was in the world, but we were without God. He did not inhabit our lives. But I love that scripture in Ephesians 2:13 that says, but now, and let me add to scripture, but now and forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It says, in Christ Jesus, you who were once, oh, far away, far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Brought near. You know, we're no longer wandering through our life. We're no longer uncertain about our life. We're no longer trying to find the way. We know the way. Amen? You know, it says brought near. How? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. It says in Ephesians 3:14, it says for this reason, talking about that we're a great people, that we're the family of God. Paul writes, he says, from the whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You've heard me say it before. I think about it all the time. We're the greatest family on earth. We are. Did you know that? Do you believe that? Yeah, I can't see you, but now I see you a little bit. You know, and look at you. Oh, my gosh, what a bunch of misfits and rebels. And you know what I'm saying? We're all differently and wonderfully made, but we all belong to God. We are the greatest family on this planet. But more important than that, we're the most important family on this planet. I don't want anybody squatting on my inheritance. I don't want anybody saying, hey, Bill, there's an area of your life there. It looks a little bit unoccupied to me. And you know, since it is, I think I'm going to occupy it because you're not letting God into that area, just like the children of Israel did right there. We're the only family on this planet that contains Scripture, the true Scripture, the perfect true Word of God. Amen? We're the only people on earth, loved one, that has that. And we're the only family on earth that we are now, because of virtue of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that we're entitled to the promises of God, the benefits of God, the goodness of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, all those things. And you know what? They are found nowhere else in this universe. Would you say that we're a great family?
Pastor Bill will conclude this message tomorrow, and we'll look for you once again. We appreciate you listening today, and until next time, May the Lord bless you. Have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.